Couple of verses in John's Gospel, John 8, page 1280, 1280, John 8 and verse 36. John 8, verse 36. If therefore the Son shall set you free, he shall be really free. And then a verse again in John's Gospel, chapter 11, page 1284. Verse 26, just the last few, three words in that sentence. Verse 26, believest thou this? I am back in the summer, spent half a day in a prison. I was offered to go along and help out as best I could. And there was an opportunity to speak to some prisoners, and there was a course that they were on that was coming to a conclusion, and I was allowed to join on the last week. And I didn't realise, I just went breezing in with my passport and my ID. I quite thought it would be an easy kind of afternoon where I'd talk about Jesus and his love. I didn't realise I was absolutely knocked for six. It was extraordinary. The gates, the security, the bars, the barbed wire, the metal, the restrictions. I got shouted at numerous times for leaving a door open behind me. And on it went. I met people who had taken other persons' lives. I just sat beside them. I sort of felt like slightly moving my chair away, but they'd done what they'd done. And one of them had done it, he said, for a reason. I met a couple whose child had been killed, and they'd come to prison to talk to some of the prisoners about how they felt, what it meant to them to have had a son who had been murdered. There was a moment where one of the people that had taken that child's life actually came into the room, and I watched as the father, I thought, what's he going to do? Is he going to hit him? But he went towards him. The father was a Christian, and he put his arms round this man who had taken the life of his son. So I went with all these thoughts in my mind. It would be a nice breezy afternoon. And I went then into this scenario of, oh my word. And I just couldn't really cope with it, oddly. I thought I could cope with most things, but not that. But you know, as I came away, said my goodbyes, said I'd pray for a couple of persons that are still in prison, as I walked away, I came through one gate after another, somebody taking me out to make sure I'd gone. I went to reception, I received my passport back, I signed out. And the final door opened and I shut it behind me. Do you know, that's the bit that I remember the most. That's the bit I will always treasure, was the fact that I could go out the door and I was free. I don't know about you and your life, whether you feel free. You know what Satan does? He binds and binds and binds us with sin. We commit one, we commit another, we get away with it, and we get deeper and deeper and deeper. In John 4, there was a woman who was taking water from a well, And she said to Jesus, the well is deep. And that's the way it is, isn't it? You get your pleasure and you get your pleasure and you get your pleasure, but you have to go deeper and deeper and deeper to satisfy your heart. The well of this world is deep. But you know, Jesus spoke to that lady and he gave her water, water of life. He gave her something that would satisfy her not only that day, but the next and every day after. Satisfy her for eternity. Have you, friend, got that satisfaction? Have you got that freedom from your sins? What did it mean to get freedom from your sins? What does that mean? Think of the reality of what Jesus did on that cross. He bore in his body our sins. In his body. It wasn't separate from his body. It was in his body. You know, the one who had the right to live came to die. The one who did no sin was made sin. The one who was free allowed himself to be led as a lamb to the slaughter. Why? To secure your freedom. Isn't that beautiful? The one that was homeless. The one who had a home in the highest heights of glory came to this earth. No room for him in the inn. He says the foxes have holes, the birds of the heaven roosting places. The Son of Man has not where he may lay his head. The one who had a home came down, became homeless, so that you and I might have a home. John 14, in my Father's house, there are many rooms, many abodes. Think of the beauty of that. Think of the love of Jesus coming here for you and for me to set us free. Well, the question is, have you been set free? How do you do it? This work on the cross done all those years ago, not only was he made sin, not only did he bear your sin and mine in his body on the tree, but he shed his precious blood to cleanse you from every sin. That's the complete, wonderful work of Jesus. Not only did he go into the grave, but he came out of it again, triumphant, victorious, the work done, everything accomplished, everything done to set you free. But have you got it? And how do you get it? If Jesus has done it all, and the cross was all those years ago, how do I connect with that? Well, that's why we preach, isn't it? There was a man in the Acts in this book who said, what must I do to be saved? Very often you hear a lovely gospel and you think, but what do I need to do? What must I do? Jesus has done everything, but what must you do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's so beautifully simple, isn't it? But have you actually done it? You know, you go through your life, maybe brought up in a nice house, maybe not, I don't know. But it's so easy just to think, that's what I need to do. But have you actually done it? We read recently in Sevenoaks, we were in Matthew's Gospel, and there's that story of the colt and the ass, I think it is, Matthew. You will find an ass tied and a colt with it. Loose them and lead them to me. And we know the story. Jesus used one of those animals to ride into Jerusalem. And I was thinking about that scripture, about freedom. Quite remarkable, isn't it? I we were a bit quiet in Sevenoaks that Lord's Day afternoon, and sometimes you have to push the reading on a little bit here and there. And I asked somebody, what does this scripture mean? What a story, isn't it? There's Jesus, the Creator. There's Jesus, the King of Kings. And he asked two of his disciples to go and release an animal or two so that he can use it. And then people threw their clothes over the animal, and Jesus got on and rode into Jerusalem. And I asked, what does it mean for us today? And somebody said, well, it's obvious, it's two disciples. And Jesus says to them, go into the village and you'll find an ass tied and a colt with it. Loose them and lead them to me. You do what the Lord Jesus says. And that's lovely, isn't it? Just simply to do what Jesus says. And when Jesus asks you about your belief in him, it's wonderful just to accept him at his word. I always thought this scripture meant that we were like the colt and the ass, and we're tied at the crossway, and then Jesus asked that we might be let free, and then we are available to Jesus. Now, I think both are right. I think the disciples did what Jesus wanted, and that's good. But you think about this animal, and there's a verse in Job that I meant to find if we hadn't been racing here. But there's a verse in Job that talks about, though man be born as the foal of a wild ass. Do you know, we're all wild, really, aren't we? You think, well, no, you're not. Not at all. But we are, actually, aren't we, inside. Our minds, they're dark places. Our sins soon mount up. The best person in this room, I'm quite sure, would accept that they had sinned and that they had done wrong. It's a reality. But you see, this colt is tied at the crossway and it's set free. And what does it do? Does it bolt? Does it run? No. You see, when I talk about freedom, I could have walked out of that prison and done whatever I'd like. But it would have soon found me actually inside that prison. Just remember, when I say Jesus will set you free, yes, he will. Set you free from your history. Set you free from your past. Set you free from what condemns you. And that's wonderful. But it's not free to do whatever you want. You see, that colt was useful. That animal was useful for Jesus. Those disciples did what he said. And as you go through the scriptures, one by one, they're set free. Praise God for that. Praise God for the work of Jesus. Praise God for that cross. Praise God for that crown of thorns. Praise God for the pain that he knew. Praise God that he bore my sins in his body on the tree. Praise him. Praise him, praise him for what he's done. He's done it for you, but he's set you free for a reason. In John 4 again, it says that my Father seeks such as his worshippers, those that worship in spirit and in truth. He's set you and I free for a reason, not to go off. You come to Luke 15, that younger son thought his freedom meant that he could just do whatever he wanted. And off he went into this sad old world. And he lived his life in absolute freedom, so he thought. But old friend, it wasn't. It brought him sorrow. And you just read that story, and I know it is a story. It's a parable. But I look at my own heart, and I've been there too. I've been away. I've been away in a far country. Far away from my God, the one who loves me, the one who's given his son for me, Jesus who has died for me. I've been so far away. In my teens, I was bad. I wanted to get away as quickly and as soon as I could. And I did. But I was brought back by Luke 15. I was brought back by the shepherd. And I knew what it was to be laid on his shoulders and to be brought home to the Father's house again. Friend, your freedom isn't something that you can achieve on your own terms. That younger son came to himself. I think one of the old worthies said, sin is like a kind of madness. He came to himself. How true that is, isn't it? We think we can get free by doing what we want. Man, Adam and Eve in the garden, they thought they could get greater freedom than God had given. But no, it brought sorrow. It brought the fact that they came round to it, that they had to hide. And that's what sin does, isn't it? And that's how dark it is. And yet, old friend, just ask Jesus tonight to save you from your sins. Know something of the precious, wonder-working power of the blood of the Lamb, and come to him, because he'll set you free in a way that you never, ever understood. He'll fill you with grace and mercy and peace and joy and happiness. Isn't that what the world wants? Isn't it extraordinary? We were reading about Noah and the people there, and they did evil, just whatever they wanted in their life. It's such a state the world was in. And, you know, they turned to violence, jealousy and greed and hatred and all of those things that are in my heart too. They turned to that, and they were hurting and killing one another to get happiness, to get joy, to get peace. And it just brought utter misery. Friend, if you think you can get your freedom on your own terms, you're wrong. Jesus alone could set you free, but you need to come to him personally, not as a group, not as a company. One by one, come to that cross, look and see him there, see what he's done for you, believe it. I was thinking of others, and there's many in the Bible who were set free by Jesus and yet followed him in the way. I was thinking of Nicodemus. There was a classic case, wasn't there? Coming shyly, quietly, awkwardly to him by night, and yet he was set free. And then you see him, don't you, with Joseph. Jesus died on that cross for you and me, shed his precious blood for you and me. And then you get Joseph and Nicodemus, two men coming, begged for the body of Jesus, and they wrapped it up in the fine linen. Do you think about that? What did they see when they took the body of Jesus down? Have you ever thought of that, friend? Those wounds that he suffered were for you and me. Just think about what they saw. The blood and the bruising. The crown of thorns. The spear mark in his side. His hands. His back. If that doesn't touch your heart, I don't know what will. But he went that way. Led as a lamb to a slaughter, went onto that cross, was nailed there, when he should have gone free. But he had in his heart you and me, and your complete and utter freedom. Friend, you owe him everything. I just close with one last appeal and one story, and I'm done. John 11, Jesus says, believest thou this? I've talked about freedom. I hope I've explained how to get it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means in your heart, you speak to Jesus. Jesus is in heaven, rightly crowned. The work's been done. He's been received up there in honour and glory. And that's where he is right now. But it doesn't stop you and me speaking to him. And you and I can just right now just speak to Jesus from our heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. I've done wrong. I'm a sinner, but you took my place, and your precious blood cleanses me from every sin. Friend, it's that simple, but you must do it. There's old Martha, sad, stressed, unhappy. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, though he have died, shall live, and everyone who lives and believes on me shall never die. Just those words got me this morning. What a question. Almost the greatest question in this book, isn't it? Believest thou this? Do you believe it? That he's the resurrection and the life. Do you believe he died for you? Do you believe he took all your sins away and bore them in his body on the tree? You can believe it. Millions of people have. In faith, they've accepted what Jesus has done. In faith, they wait for him either to come or for him or to be taken by him. We've got a case in Sevenoaks, Roger. You know him, I'm sure. I saw him on Tuesday. And it's tough, really, really tough to see him. Somebody who helped me, somebody who was kind, somebody who cared, somebody who's soon to be taken. You see, that's what it means to be set free. It's not only from stuff down here. It's not only a friend for life. It's not only that you're stopped from going certain places and certain ways because it's not pleasing to the Lord. You know, the full freedom is yet to come, isn't it? When we'll be set free from these old weak bodies that fail and that are frail. We'll be set free. What a saviour, isn't he? He's going to set us free to live in his Father's house eternally. That's freedom, isn't it? Freedom from this world. What a saviour he is. And you look at Roger lying there in that bed and you just think that's all it waits is Jesus to come to that place and to take him to be and to set him free from all that weakness and pain and the sorrow that the family know. You see, when you get into glory, it speaks about God. God who sent the Son is going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. Not the fact that it's just tears on our cheeks. This is tears from our eyes. We won't cry, will we? It'll all be happiness and joy. But the way to it is, believest thou me. You must believe. And you can have freedom like no one else can offer. Tears are gone. Death is gone. All the sorrow, gone. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a fantasy. It's reality. And I believe it because it's God's word. You can stand on this with your whole life. God's word. Trust it. Trust him. That old worthy who, he said those words, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. How simple it would be if we just stuck to that. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. I'll finish with a story. There was a man called John Todd who lived in the 1800s, way, way, way back. And his parents died, as I think was, you know, there were diseases and there wasn't what we have nowadays. And the parents died tragically. He was just a young boy. And his brothers and sisters were sent to various members of the family. And John was sent to his aunt. And his aunt sent a man on a horse to pick him up. It seems just crazy nowadays, doesn't it? You just leap into an Uber and you'd be there, whatever an Uber is. I thought I'd stay on call for a moment. But It went on the horse, and this gentleman rode, and this little lad clung on, and he occasionally said to this man, "What's my aunt like?" He'd never met her. And this guy said, "She's a lovely lady. She'll welcome you." And he said, "Do you think there'll be food there?" "Yeah, yes, there will." And he had a ton of other questions. And he said, "Will she have gone to bed because it's quite late?" And he said, "No, she'll be waiting up for you." And he said, "Will it be dark when we get there?" And this man said, "No, I know her, she'll have the light on for you." And when they got to the house, they came through the woods, they came to the house, the light was on, the door was open. And she said, "It's lovely to see you. I love you. Welcome." And as the years went by, that young boy grew up. And that aunt became like a mother to him. And eventually he left, went overseas for his own work, and he got a letter from his aunt to say that she was ill, she was dying. And he wrote back a beautiful letter to her. Can I read it to you? Is that all right? Off the phone. "My dear aunt," the aunt had written to the young man, and the young man was now writing to the aunt. "My dear aunt, years ago, I left a house of death, not knowing where I was to go, whether anyone cared, whether it was the end of me. The ride was long, but the servant encouraged me. Finally, I arrived to your embrace in a new home. Expected. I felt safe. You did it all for me. Now it's your turn to go. I'm writing to let you know someone is waiting up. Your room is all ready. The light is on. The door is open. And you're expected." Have you got that, friend? Have you got that reality in your heart? That there's a place for you in heaven. Jesus has gone to prepare the place. It's ready because he's gone there. It's available to you. But you must do what Martha did, and that was believe. You must do that. What must I do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, for his name's sake. Amen.